Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And again, what a blessing it is to be in church on this Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the life of Elijah, one of the most powerful Bible characters that we have. And we find Elijah mentioned not only in the Old Testament, but the New Testament, and even in the book of Revelation. I believe he's going to be one of the witnesses during the tribulation period of time. And there's much scripture to back that up. And so there's just so much about Elijah. And so anytime we find that much said about anyone, we need to study that life, because God has recorded these events in the life of Elijah to help us to understand some biblical truth, biblical principles. And so as we're going through, it's been a good study. I trust it's been a help to you. We now know now that Elijah is coming to the end of his public, end of his ministry, and God had already recommissioned him, and now he's getting ready to and starting to prepare Elisha to take over the place, his own place. But he still has a few things that God has for him to do. And concerning Ahab, a week ago Wednesday, we studied that Ahab heard Elijah's prediction of judgment, as God sent Elijah to Ahab to tell him that he was going to die. And after he pronounced the judgment, we find that even the most wicked king of all of history, all the history of Israel, that was Ahab, he repented. And when he repented, then God said, because God seen on his heart that it was sincere, at least for the time, then God withheld his judgment of Ahab. And so we found this last message as Ahab heard and believed in God's judgment and repented. And so people need to hear about the judgment of God. And the problem is today, people are not hearing about the judgment. And without the judgment, then there is no restraint to sin. There's no restraint to anybody, to our lives, if there's no consequences to our actions. And the judgment. I mean, we have the law. People need to understand the law. What does an understanding of the law do to people? It helps them to live by the law. Stay within the guidelines of the law. Because if you step out of the law, then you are going to have to face the penalty that the law says that helps govern our society. Well, the very same thing with God. When we understand the judgments that God has pronounced upon the wages of sin, understanding we're sinners, and the payment for that sin, which is the wage of that sin, is eternal damnation. There is a hell. And people have to hear that if they fail to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, they're going to die and spend eternity in a devil's hell. It's a real place. And so if they don't hear that, then there's no incentive to repent. And there's nothing there that's going to help them to live within the guidelines of the laws, even the laws of God. And so we studied that last week. I trust that was a help to you just a couple weeks ago. People need to hear. It must be preached. And we're not hearing the judgment of God today like we have in the past in America. And it's somewhat politically incorrect, amen? It's not something that you do, because not everybody believes that, and it might offend some people to tell them that they're going to die and go to hell. Well, I would rather offend them, okay, and get them to acknowledge a judgment and get saved, and instead of worrying about offending them, let them live and die and go to a devil's hell. Amen? It's just the judgment of God. We need to preach and teach the truths of the judgments of God. Well, now, as we go to 2 Kings, God had withheld his judgment on Ahab. And then Ahab went, after a couple of years, he got right back into the same predicament, started rebelling against God. And so finally that Ahab was killed, the dogs did lick the blood of Ahab in the streets, as the Bible says that it would have. And so now we find ourselves in 2 Kings and the continuation of the life of Elijah. And so there's a new king on the throne, and God now sends Elijah to address the new king, all right? So hopefully you're up to where we are at tonight, so go ahead and stand with me. We'll be reading 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a laitish in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, the Tishbite, arise and go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go and turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there's not a god in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, as we bow before you, thank you, Father, for allowing us to be in your house once again. Thank you for this opportunity that those that are here took advantage of. And now, as we are assembled here tonight, we pray that you would just meet with us in a very special way. I pray that you would anoint the preaching of thy word once again and speak to each one that's here through it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, Ahaziah is now king. Ahaziah is the son of the most wicked king to ever live, which would have been Ahab, and the most wicked queen to ever be with the most wicked king over the nation of Israel, and the one that is possibly recognized even today as the name of a wicked woman, Jezebel. And so Ahaziah now, his father was Ahab, his mother was Jezebel. And if you look back over to 1 Kings chapter 22, the very last three verses, it helps us to know what's taking place here with Ahaziah. And his Bible says that, verse 51, and Ahaziah the son of Ahab began to reign over Israel and Samaria. It's the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel, reigned 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did evil. That would help us to know how God's going to deal with him. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father, which had been Ahab, and the way of his mother, which had been Jezebel, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. Now listen to me, Israel was God's chosen people. Every king that would be over the nation of Israel would have understood the history of Israel. They would understood how that God delivered Israel, how that God, through Abraham, established this great nation, this nation that was to be a blessing to all the people of the world. And so that any king that would be over Israel would have known these are God's children and would have known the history, would have known everything that would have taken place here of how God delivered them out of the Egyptian bondage, how God delivered unto them the promised land, all the things that they would have known. And yet we find that Ahab turned from God to serve Baal because of his connection with Jezebel. And now they're raising children. And we find here that Ahaziah is following in the footsteps of his father and his mother. So Ahaziah, in chapter 1 of in the book of 2 Kings, the Bible starts out with telling us that Ahaziah is badly injured in his own house. You think you might be safe in the confounds of your own home. People die in their own homes. Amen? So Ahaziah is badly injured in his own house. He seeks insight from Beelzebub. When God hears of this and God sees this, as soon as it happens, then God calls his prophet, the one who is very familiar with Ahab and Jezebel, the one who is very familiar with the situation in Israel, and so he sends Elijah to intervene with the messengers, and he sends them back and pronounces the judgment of God, that he was going to die on his deathbed. So that's what we read here. That's the story that we find here in 2 Kings chapter 1, and that's what we're going to break down and try to learn from this story and why God has it recorded in his word. So the first thing we want to look at here is Ahaziah's injury, accident or providence of God. So when something happens to us, do we look at it and say, just an accident? No, God has nothing. God didn't intend this. God doesn't have a message for me through this. It's just something. It's just an accident. Or providence of God. And that's something that we have to question. Okay, what's going on in our lives? When something happens, is it just a coincidence, just an accident? As the devil will try to blind you to how God's working in your life by just saying, no, it's just a coincidence or it's just an accident. It just happened to be this way. I'm not doing anything wrong. This is not judgment. This is not chastisement. This is not God trying to lead me. This is not God speaking to me. It's just an accident or just a natural coincidence. Well, in 2a, here we find the Bible says, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria. Now, he's in his house, his castle, if you will, and he has built an upper chamber, and this lattice, possibly a railing that might have just had not been maintained. It might have been faulty workmanship in building this thing, but whatever it was, he leaned against it possibly, and it did not hold his weight, and he ended up falling over this, and he fell all the way down to the ground. We don't know how far of a fall it was. We don't know anything about this. The Bible just says that he was so badly injured that he was on his bed. He could not get out of bed to where he's on his deathbed, and he knew something internally was wrong. And he was wondering if this was going to take his life, if this was the end of his life. And so he's badly injured. Can I tell you that things do happen? I mean, everyone falls from time to time. Everyone gets a cut. Everyone gets a burn. Is there anybody in here that's never had a burn at all? I mean, I didn't think so. Anybody in here that's never had a cut? Now, for most, even broken bones are somewhat natural for children growing up. You look at it and say, oh, he's just a boy. You know, there's going to be bruises. There's going to be bumps on the head. There's going to be cuts, and there's going to be burns, and every now and then there's going to be broken bones. Has there anybody here that's never had a broken bone? Look at that. Well, there's more than I thought there would be. That's what you're very unnatural, okay? So, a broken finger, a broken toe, you didn't have to go to the hospital, or you didn't have to have a cast or something like this, but most of the time, most people in their lifetime will have some type of a broken bone of some sort or another, getting up in the night and stubbing your toe, and you didn't do anything about it. You know, you just wrapped it up or whatever. Now it sticks out this way. It's because it was broke, amen? You broke it. You didn't do anything about it. Now it's just shaped funny. All right, now, some would say just an accident. Just a natural coincidence of life is just part of growing up. It's part of life. And I'm here to tell you that natural things do happen to everyone. And for the most part, yeah, this is a natural child turning into a teenager, turning into, as we studied, that cycle of life. There's things that all of us will experience somewhat similar. And we say there's just natural happenings. These are just this timing, coincidence, just accidents, whatever it might be. But God still sees it all. And sometimes we fail to give God the credit of knowing what He knows. Can I encourage you to hear tonight? Never limit God's knowledge or power. Never limit God's knowledge of your life. Never limit God's knowledge of how you feel and what's on your heart and mind. Maybe no one else on this planet Earth can really know what you're going through. And there are people that go through things that are horrendous. That unless somebody else has gone through those very same things, you do not know what they're really going through. You don't know what's going on in their hearts. You don't know what's going on in their minds and how this has impacted their lives, impacted their thoughts, impacted their subconscious as well as their conscious minds. But there's one thing that you can know. God knows. God knows us, and you've heard me say this many times. God knows me better than I know myself. And there's been times in my life I didn't know what was going on in my own mind, my own feelings, my own heart. And I've had to go before God in my prayer closet and say, God, help me to understand what's going on with me. The only one that I can go to help me to understand me is You. Because You know me better than I know myself, and You know what's going on in my life. God, help me to just realize why I'm thinking the way I'm thinking and why I feel the way I feel, and on and on and on, because I have a God who is all knowledge, who is omniscient, who is omnipotent, meaning He can do something about it. Not only that does He know, He has the knowledge, but He can do something about it. Do not limit the knowledge or the power of God in your life. God is a sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient God. And He wants us to know that. There's much in the Bible about this. Matter of fact, Psalms chapter 147. Let me just take you through a couple of verses here real quick. If I go too fast, write them down. I want you to have them to go back and research and read later on. But Psalms 147 verse 5, it says this: Great is our Lord and of a great power. His understanding is infinite. Do you know what infinite is? There's no end to it. There's just no end to it. And there's no end to His understanding. There's no end to His knowledge because He is omniscient. Proverbs chapter 15, God wants you to know who He is. And Proverbs in chapter 15 and verse 11, it would have helped Ahaziah if he would have known who God was. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 11 says this: Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Hell and destruction. God understands everything about hell and destruction. And how, if He knows about that, He says, how much more than the hearts of men? How much more than the hearts of the children of men? It means that God knows your heart. Heart is the seat of our emotions. And our emotions stem from what's going on in our heads, what's going on in our minds. If God understands our hearts, I guarantee you, He knows every thought that's going on in your mind. He knows what you do not even know. He knows how that something affected you in your subconscious. He knows everything about you and me. He understands. Not only does He have the knowledge, but He understands how it would impact our lives. This is a God that we need to know. Isaiah chapter 46, let me just read this to you, verse 9 and 10. In Isaiah chapter 46, concerning the God of Israel, our God, the only true living God, Isaiah 46, 9 says this: Remember the former things of old, for I am God. Remember the former things. Remember every experience that I've ever taken you through here. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. You're looking for other gods, and you're trying to serve the gods of the heathen. But listen to me, there is not a God like me. He goes on to say, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. He says, I'm not only the God of today, I'm the God of yesterday, I'm the God of the past, I'm the God of the present, I'm the God of the future. The things that have not even happened yet, I know what's going to happen. I know what the future holds for you. I know what you're going to face tomorrow. I know what you're going to have to face next year. I understand that. God says, I am the omniscient God. I have the knowledge of all things. He's written it down for us to understand about Him. Don't limit God's knowledge. Do not limit God's power, because they're limitless. They're infinite. Wow. Matthew chapter 10. This very same thought right here. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 29 and verse down to verse 31. Again, write it down here. Let me read it to you. Matthew 10, verse 29. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Now, come on, surely the God that's overseeing the wars of the world, and he's overseeing death and hell, and he's overseeing all the spiritual battles, you mean to tell me that he's aware, has the knowledge of every little bird that I shot when I was a little boy? I would ask you that. How many boys have shot birds? Have I ever BB guns? And yeah. But God is aware of the very minute things in life, is what he's saying. When a bird falls out of a tree, God's aware of it. That's what the Bible says. That's how the Bible describes our God. That is the knowledge. Don't limit the knowledge of God. And he goes on to say this, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's minute. For some, it's more minute than others, but it's minute. And then he says, fear ye not, therefore. God's on your side. If God before you, who can be against you? If you're walking with God and you have the hand of God upon your life, you don't have anything to fear. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. If God knows that much about the little birds, if God knows that much about every other thing of life, listen to me. We are the crown of God's creation. And we are more value to God than many sparrows. Wow. So we go back towards our study here tonight. Go back with me here. 2 Kings. Accident or providence? Accident or providence? Do you remember God's judgment upon Ahab's house? When God says, all right, I will not judge Ahab because Ahab repented in his life, but I will judge his house because I know how him and Jezebel have raised their sons. And because of how they raised their sons, I understand that they will not repent and they will face the same judgment that I'm going to pronounce even before it happens. In 1 Kings 21, verse 29, the Bible says this, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me, God speaking, because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Starting with Ahaziah. Starting with Ahaziah. So, falling through the lattice, falling over a banister, getting injured in his own house. Now, with all of that, understanding who God is, understanding the judgment that was already pronounced upon the children of Ahab. Accident or providence of God? Can I tell you? It doesn't matter. What do you mean? God can work through natural, and God can also work opposite the natural. But God's at work in everything. If he's aware of that bird that falls out of the nest, if you fell over a banister, and especially if it's a life-threatening injury, can I tell you, God's aware of it before it ever happened, during it, and after it. You broke a bone. Listen to it. God knew it was going to happen. God was aware of it before it happened. He was aware of it when it happened. He was aware of it after it happened. And he's a sovereign God. So God can work through the natural. He can work through every burn. He can work through every cut. He can work through every broken bone. He can work through every situation that you have ever faced in life. God can work through that, or God can work opposite natural. God can see it happening and stop it from ever happening. God can see exactly where it would go and stop it from ever taking place. You will not know how God worked opposite nature in your life until you get to heaven. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to look back and see what you couldn't see here because you didn't realize it was going to happen. And you'll see how God worked opposite the natural to possibly keep you from falling over that rail, possibly to keep you from dying in an automobile accident, possibly keeping you from destroying and totaling your car by falling asleep, and God woke you up before you actually went off the road. What I'm saying, God is aware of that, and we need to do not limit the knowledge nor the power of God in your life. God is aware of every minute detail of the lives of his children. And listen to me, if he's aware of it, he has the power to change it. So that his will may be accomplished. That means if it happened, God had to allow it, because God could have stopped it. And if he allowed it, it might be bigger than you. If he allowed it, can I tell you, it did more than just impact your lives. It impacted a whole lot of other lives. And God has his eyes focused on the big picture as well as the small picture. The big details as well as the smallest detail of life. So his injury, accident, or providence of God. Either way, God was in control. So after this, Ahaziah looked to the wrong source for help. The Bible says in chapter 2, after he fell through, realized he had an injury here, a life-threatening injury, he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Beelzebub. See, Beelzebub is a connection to Baal worship. This idea of Beelzebub is a part of Baal worship. This idea of Beelzebub would have been the lord of the fly, which is also, when you break it down, study it, he's the lord of medicine. And so in the Baal worship, there was all sorts of different types of Baal worship. If you wanted something done physically, medicine-wise, you go to Beelzebub, or you worship the god of Beelzebub. If you wanted something else, if you wanted the fertility, then you would be another type of a Baal worship. If you wanted something else, it's another type of Baal worship. And they had different types of Baal gods and lords that you would look to if you wanted that particular answer to your prayer. Now, we have somewhat the same thing today. And even some religions saying, well, you can pray to this prophet, or you can pray to this saint, or you can pray to that prophet, or to that saint, and whichever one that you can best identify with. Listen to me, there is no one that you can better identify with than the one who identified with you, and that's Jesus Christ. The only one that we're to pray to and through is Jesus Christ. No one else. There are no other ways to God but than through Jesus Christ. Do not believe anything that somebody tells you when they say, well, you can identify with this saint or this God or this God or whatever you need, then go to a God that, listen, that's ridiculous. When you serve the living God, He's the one and only God. Amen. He's given us a way to Him. And the way to God is through Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit. That's how God's established it. So Ahaziah would have known about the God of Israel. But he turned to Beelzebub. And then the last thing here we find that is Elijah announced God's judgment upon Ahaziah. So Ahaziah turns to Beelzebub. And God says that was the last step. Two reasons for his judgment. First of all, he did not look to the living God. Verse 6, it says, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel? You see, Ahaziah, are you not aware of the one true God, the God that has been Israel's God and that delivered them from the Egyptian bondage and did all these things and given them the land of the promise, the land of Canaan? Is it not because there's not a God in Israel? God had Ahaziah face two great trials to get him to the place to turn to God. Not to Beelzebub, to turn to the living God. First of all, the Bible says he's a young king. He only reigned for 2 years before he died. But he was a young king, then Moab. As soon as he becomes king, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. So now we find here the first trial in Ahaziah's life as being king of Israel is a revolt of Moab. And he didn't look to God to help him as he had a decision to make for the nation of Israel, because this would have been a major ordeal when you had those that were under their authority. Now they're revolting, and if they were to get together, they would come against Israel. And they did. And the second thing is life-threatening illness. He didn't ask God for help. He knew who Elijah was because he was there with his father Ahab when Elijah stood before Ahab and pronounced the judgment of God upon Ahab. He would have seen what Elijah was able to do on Mount Carmel when he seen that the Baal prophets of Baal could not bring fire down from heaven, could not light the fire to consume the sacrifice. And yet, this one man against 450 of the prophets of Baal at this one location, and he saw he would have been able to witness the very power of Elijah's God. When Elijah called out to God and God consumed the sacrifices, his son would have been there. His son would have then seen how Ahab went back and cowered down to Jezebel to put a death threat on Elijah. So he had the full picture. And God brought two trials into his life. Accident or coincidence. Or providence of God. However you look at it, it was trials that he should have and could have turned to God. He didn't ask God for help. Can I tell you, when you go through trials, when you're facing situations in life, listen to me, you have a God that wants you to call unto Him. He says, call on me, I'll answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's not going to force himself upon you because he wants you to have a desire to call upon the name of the Lord. He wants you to have faith to look to him. He wants you to cry out to him. He knows what's going on in your life. No matter what's going on in your life, listen to me, God knows about it. And that test, when you're going through that, who do you turn to? Are you going to call out to God? The Bible does say in the book of James, we have not because we ask not, and all you have to do is ask. We fail to ask way too often because sometimes we limit the knowledge and power of God and we just break it down to just coincidence or accidents. And we fail to see the providence of God at work in everything. Didn't ask. But not only did he not ask, he sought the help of a false god. Wow. It's even worse when you know you need help and you look to something that is anti-God. You look to something today that we would look at as being anti-Christ. You have a hard time. You know you need help. Instead of looking to God, you're looking to something that you know stands opposite God. Ahaziah was there with Ahab. He knew who God was. He knew that God could work through all things, and he chose to look to Beelzebub. We'll close with this, Acts chapter 17. Now we're going to see later on just what he does and how he tries to command God's messenger. But Acts in chapter 17, we're going to close with this tonight. Can I tell you, we need to understand God's position. Hopefully you understand God's love for humanity. I mean, that's evident through Jesus Christ. The God's position, knowing past, present, and future, knowing what he's working through and what he's allowed and the purpose for it. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 17, look at verse 24. This is Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and part of this, but look what he says in verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein. That's a good start, is acknowledging God for who he is. He's a creator God. Amen. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. There's nothing happening in heaven or nothing happens on earth that he does not know about because he's Lord of both. Amen. That's what he's saying. Dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. Without God, you don't have life. Without God, you can't even breathe. And hath made one blood of all nations for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Mankind is connected as being made in the image and likeness of God, no matter what the skin color, no matter where they live on earth, they're all connected because they have souls, eternal souls, made in the likeness and image of God. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined, God has determined the times before appointed. God knows what the future holds, and he's determined things and at the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Verse 27. In all of this that's happening in each one of our lives, that they should seek the Lord. Everything that God has done in your life whatever he's allowed to happen has done with a desire for you to seek him. Seek him for understanding. Seek him for help. Seek him for wisdom. Seek him for direction. That they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him. You can feel the presence of God. You can sense the presence of God when you are seeking after him. And find him. God is there to be found, though he be not far from every one of us. So the lesson tonight with the king, learn from what happened to your father Ahab and stop turning away from God and stop looking to worship the God of Baal. But look back to the only true God and seek him. Because he's there to be found. And no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstances, he's there to be found. There's nothing that I enjoy more than Saturday nights here at this church. Because I block everything else out. I don't think about anything else except seeking God. And that does something to me. That does something to my heart. That does something to my mind in preparing me to preach on Sunday. It's something that has kept me just enhanced by this for 35 years. In the youth ministry, it was Saturday nights that started out. And ever since I've been a pastor, for the last 31 years, every Saturday night, in 31 years, if I'm preaching on Sunday, I'm in the church, wherever it might have been, whether it's upstairs or whether this old sanctuary, this new sanctuary, it's been my prayer closet. Because it does something for me when I seek the Lord and I can feel him. When I know I don't have to worry about anybody else coming into the building, I don't have to worry about anything else going on, and I can be up here and lay flat on this pulpit hip here, and I can get up, I can sing, I can run up and down, I can do whatever I want to do in seeking God, just me and God. There's something about that. If you don't have a prayer closet, if you don't have something at some place, some point in time, that you just get alone with a God that knows more about you than you know about yourself, that understands your past, present, and he knows your future. When you know that is the God that I'm seeking, it'll do more for you than anything else when you seek him and find him. Once you found him, you want to go back more and more, more often than not. Learn that in the life of Elijah. Seek the Lord, for he is there to be found. If I could ever have every head bowed and every eye closed. Ahaziah did not seek the Lord. And he would die, as God said. Elijah would seek the Lord and find whatever help he needed. I'm not going to have a musical invitation tonight, but there's an invitation right now. God spoke to you tonight. There's something that he would impress upon your heart to bring to this altar. I'm going to open it up right now. Come to this altar. Whatever it might be, if you want to make an altar out of your pew, if you want to just bow before him, close your heart, focus on God right where you're at, talk to him. He's there to be found if you really want to find him. If you're willing to turn away from Baal worship or whatever lifestyle that would be opposite the lifestyle that God can bless and that pleases Him. If you want to cleanse your heart and your mind from all those things, and you want to have a pure heart and a pure mind, you want to yield to God, listen, He's there to be found. And once you do that, once you truly seek the Lord and find Him, you'll never want to live without Him. Anyone else? Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before You, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank You for this life of Elijah, and we study this, and we see what took place with Ahaziah, and Lord, just how You worked in that whole circumstance that we might learn these biblical principles. Pray that You'd help us to make applications. Help us, God, to whatever happens, whatever we have to face, to look to You, to ask, and to seek Your will for our lives. Bless now as we leave here tonight. Get us all home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.